Good evening and welcome to worship. My name is Scott Kirshner, Village Pastor, and just a few words before we begin our service. Hope that you have a red hymnal, which we'll need for our service tonight, as well as a half sheet of paper with our order of service. And just a couple things of note. On the right-hand column, you'll see there are page numbers and song numbers listed. The pages indicate the small numbers on the bottom of the page in the front of the hymnal, and the song numbers indicate the hymns, which are in the back half of the hymnal. And also, if you flip the page over to the second side, at the bottom of the page, you will see a statement about our offering for tonight and throughout the summer. A word about our communion practice here at Holden. All are welcome to receive the sacrament. And there's some logistics involved here, given the size of our assembly. There are three stations, one in the front of the altar and one to either side of the altar. Please follow the instructions of the ushers guiding you to the respective stations. As you receive communion, you will receive the bread. The first chalice will have wine for drinking. If you would rather drink from an individual cup, you may take one, and the first pitcher will have wine, and the second pitcher will have grape juice. And if you do not wish to receive communion, you are still welcome to come forward and receive a blessing and simply cross your arms in front of your chest to so indicate. And there is also a fuller statement of our communion practice inside the back cover of your hymnal as well. And with that, I invite you to please stand and turn to face the baptismal font, which is in the rear of the assembly. The order of confession and forgiveness is found on page 94 in the front of your hymnal. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing hymn 533, and as we sing, verse 2 will be all men only, and verse 4, women only.
This evening, I will be reading Isaiah 55, 10 through 13. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that grows through out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountain and the hill before you shall burst into song, and all the trees and all the fields shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up from the cypress, instead of the briar shall come forth the myrtle, and it shall be the Lord for your memorial, for an everlasting thing that shall not be cut off. Word of God, word of life.
Reading is Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, sending God's own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin. God's condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through the Spirit dwelling in you. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen. A sower went out to sow, and in the sowing some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on the ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Hear then, Jesus continued, the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the dominion of heaven and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what is sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Such a person has no root but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I ask you to please pray with me. God of grace, we ask that our lives would be made good soil. that we might receive from you a word of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, a sower went out to sow. So begins Jesus' well-known parable, in which human beings are being compared to soil. This is an association that starts in the very first chapters of Genesis. In the beginning was the pun, with Adam, being made from Adama, soil. Human made from humus. Earthling made from earth. So when Jesus starts telling a story about a farmer and seeds and soil, we know what part we're playing right from the get-go. The land reflects us, and we the land. Wendell Berry writes, "While we live, our bodies are moving particles of the earth, joined inextricably both to the soil and to the bodies of other living creatures. It is hardly surprising, then, that there should be some profound resemblances between our treatment of our bodies and our treatment of the earth. Look, for instance, at Railroad Creek Valley. What do you see there? I see a glacier-carved valley, home to ecosystems alpine to temperate, home to an astounding diversity of trees, wildflowers, birds, and mammals, including the cinnamon black bear Lori and I saw on our way back from Domkey Lake last week. And then, about halfway up this magnificent valley, sits Copper Mountain, disemboweled. Its guts now form huge red-orange mesas, 60 acres of surface area alone, just to our south, leaching iron and other minerals into the creek and staining its stones the same red-orange as the tailings themselves. And from the hole in the mountain from which all of this came, bleeds a little toxic stream draining into Railroad Creek. These, I might add parenthetically, are some of the matters that will be addressed in mine remediation in the years ahead. But this is our valley, beautiful beyond all our imagining, and by our own hand, despoiled and scarred beyond our ultimate fixing. The land we inhabit reflects us, back to us. It's not surprising then that Jesus tells a parable in which we are asked to see ourselves in the land, to ask about geography, both inner and outer. How does our treatment of the land reflect spiritual realities inside us, and vice versa? A sower went out to sow, and what did that sower find? Well, it sounds like he or she found some pretty complicated terrain. Ground trampled down by heavy traffic, with nowhere for life to gain a foothold. Stony ground, hard and resistant. Soil grown over with thorns and despite. And finally, some good soil, ready for the seed to take root. Now, you might be expecting me at this point to implore you to be good soil. Not only that, but break up and hoe the hard-packed path, pick rocks out of that stony patch, and cut back those thorns that are choking everything else out and make it all good soil. It would be a fine self-improvement project, accompanied by a lovely series of metaphors, I might add. Compost, plenty of water and light, become prayer, scripture reading, and service to others. And what an uplifting sermon of American-style self-improvement it would be. But, as anyone from Lawns and Gardens around here would quickly point out, no amount of preaching to the soil makes it good soil. Soil is good and fertile because of what has been done to it. The care and the nutrients it has received. So, what makes you? What makes me fertile soil? Well, Paul would say that it's the Spirit of God already at work in us that makes us fertile soil, that allows faith to take root and sprout. The faith you have, full of doubts and unanswered questions, and meager as a mustard seed, though it may be, is the Spirit of God making good soil of you, cultivating you like a gardener, and creating space for life, even amid the stones and hard-packed path and choking thorns. You don't think you have good soil in you? I know that some of us are thinking that. You don't see it? Ask someone who loves you. Ask them why they love you. And they'll tell you about the good soil evident in you. The real punch of this parable is at the end. And it's difficult to really catch it unless you're a first century Palestinian farmer. You see, the parable ends by saying that the seeds that landed on good soil had a yield of 160 and 30. These are outlandish yields. They are yields beyond the imagining of any farmer in the difficult farmland of the Palestinian hills. This parable may begin in the agricultural world, but it ends in a theological one, where meager and unlikely and humble things are the occasion for the abundance of God's reign. A few fish and loaves feed thousands. Faith, like a tiny mustard seed, moves mountains. An instrument of public execution and humiliation is transformed into a sign of God's mercy for all. And the few seeds that take root in good soil yield an abundance beyond anyone's imagining. The good news here is that however meager our good soil, good soil it is. Good soil you are being made. And the Spirit is the gardener, allowing faith, hope, and love to take root on your little patch of ground. And when we find ourselves captured by the upside-down reign of God, in which the outcast is welcomed, the last and least are first, and the great are servants of all. And in dying, we discover life. Well, then all bets are off. The yields then are not ours at all, but God's. And they may well be abundant beyond all our imagining. From Genesis on, we are people of the fertile land. both within and without. The land's abundance and despoiling reflect our own bodies and souls as well. Working from our good soil within us, the Spirit working from our and on our good soil within us may well be the ground from which our healing comes. And we dare hope the healing of the creation of which we are a part. Amen.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Each petition will end with, "Hear us, O God," and the assembly will respond with the sung response in the Cranberry Hymnal, number 179. Let us pray. Living God, we thank you for the abundance of mercy and grace you give to us each day. We lift up to you all you have called into the fields of the world, planting the seeds of the good news into hearts that need to know your love and grace. We pray that the church's witness especially be unified, that the divisions within your body will one day cease. Hear us, O God.
Created, we lift up to you all who are actively working to reverse the effects of pollution in the world. We pray especially for the mine remediation workers who are here at Holden Village, and for those who will be coming in the next 2 years, that you give them strength and encouragement to do the work that you have called them to do. Hear us, O God.
For just laws that keep us safe, and for those who put their lives in harm's way to uphold justice. We lift up to you those who live in places where laws do not protect them, where fear reigns in place of freedom, where injustice prevails. Grant perseverance, hope, and the stirring up of leaders who will make positive changes, who will protect the most vulnerable, and who will love justice. Hear us, O God. We thank you for all your children across the globe, for each smile and each tear that connects all of us together as one human family. We lift up to you those who especially suffer through illness, those who find themselves alone, those who are untouched and unloved. Help us have eyes to see and ears to hear, to love all whom you love, to come alongside and care for those who need healing in body and spirit. We thank you especially for doctors and medicines that carry help and healing. Hear us, O God.
Loving God, we thank you for the love and grace you have shown us in Jesus Christ. Be with those who are seeking, who are asking the difficult questions, whose souls are restless, who live in doubt, and help us to more fully live the question of our faith in our own lives as well. May we all find our rest in you. Hear us, O God.
Ever-present God, we thank you for the gift that is Holden Village, for each person gathered here, and for those who will be departing tomorrow. Continue to strengthen the bonds and friendship that we will have and formed here. Be with us as we discern what you have next for us, and grant us safe travels for wherever your spirit leads us. Hear us, O God.
Listening God, we lift to you all those loved ones who weigh heavy on our hearts now. Be with them as we name them silently or as we name them aloud. Lord, grant to them all your good courage and faith. Hear us, O God.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of that peace.
God's peace be with you.
Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all glory and honor, now and forever.
Amen.
Now gathered into one, let us pray as Jesus taught us, praying in whatever version is most familiar and comforting to you. Our Father,
hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil.
This is Christ's table, and not our own. now, for all is ready.
Thank you.
O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We sing our closing hymn, number 538.
We'll sing each section twice, once in English, once in Spanish. If you don't sing Spanish, you may sing the English quietly the second time through. We'll do each section twice as written, and then we'll go back and do the whole thing once more.
Love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.